Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1702, air date July 17th, 2026.
All right, good evening, everyone. It's Dr. Shiva Adre and Truth, Freedom, Health. We do these town halls every Thursdays in the evening, and the purpose of these town halls is to really educate people. I assume you can hear me, Suresh? Everything all right? Yes? Okay. So today the topic is, if Suresh puts it up again, Trump is supposed to give a speech tonight at 9 p.m., I don't know if you guys know, about what he's going to do for election integrity. Now, we know the war in Ukraine is devastating the U.S. economy, and Trump has escalated the war again in Iran. So to detract from this, Trump wants to act as though he's for election integrity, and the Democrats are not. Very similar to the Democrats want to act as though they want to fight racism and the Republicans are against it. You see, they take issues. You can bring it back. So these guys take issues and they literally sit around a table. And I'm convinced they do this. And they get, Bernie, you get this issue. Thomas Massey, you get this issue. And it's fascinating because the Republicans have a set of issues. Okay, we stand for, you know, strict immigration. We stand for election integrity. We're against transgender. Democrats say we're against racism, right? We stand, you know, we're for clean air, right? We believe in climate change. And if you get emails from these guys, each side is raising billions of dollars on these issues, which actually divide people. They don't do anything to unite people along any fundamental principles. And this is a racket that they're playing. Well, one of them is election integrity. There are real issues with election integrity that we uncovered. And before I go into this, for all of you who are new and those of you who are here, I want everyone to really show great gratitude to all the people who helped bottoms up in this movement, the leadership of this movement, the whole organization. The world owes a massive debt of gratitude to the movement for Truth, Freedom, Health. It is the only force on this planet that is actually going down to a very deep level to educate people and unite people. Educate people on the system's nature of how things work, the nature of how nature itself works. And based on that core foundation, we're educating people in health, food systems, biological systems, but also civic and political responsibility. It's a very foundational curriculum that doesn't exist anywhere else. So the fact that we exist at this point in human history is a pretty powerful thing because it gives people immense opportunities to actually get off the plantation, you know, to essentially stop being a slave. And this opportunity has not existed ever before in human history. And it is because of this movement, and it is because of the many, many lives over the thousands of years that were spent in trial and error to what brings us here. So I want to express a lot of gratitude and thanks to everyone who's in this movement and the incredible value that they generate globally for everyone. So the topics that we discuss here are always aimed to raise people's consciousness. Now, Trump is supposed to give a speech today. Caroline Leavitt, his propaganda minister, is talking about, oh my God, this is going to be an amazing speech. And some of the previews are he's going to talk about how election fraud took place in Georgia. By the way, we were the ones who did the actual exposing of it, didn't get paid a cent in Fulton County. Trump and others used our material and then took it into wacko world, which really diminished the real issues. But nonetheless, it was our movement that did all the work, and it's all documented. But Trump and the Republican MAGA took on election integrity. But at the end of the day, they don't want to go at the heart of election integrity and really solve it. And I'm going to share with you receipts today to prove that the Republican MAGA and the liberal Democrats are in collusion. And we are at the center point of it again, as we were in 2020. And our movement is exposing the fact that both of these parties, whether it's election integrity, they're actually for election fraud, whether it's for racism, they're not really anti-racist. They actually want to divide everyone up. They're pro-racist, meaning they want, in my view, racism is using race for one's political and economic advancement. Elizabeth Warren does it. Trump does it. They all do it. So when you look at election integrity, integrity is a key word, okay? And if you want to think about it very simply, when you put something into something and you analyze it, the thing that's doing the analysis of that object should reflect the nature of that object, okay? Barb Herta was out in Massachusetts this past week helping us collect signatures. And Barb made it very simple. As people are coming by, she goes, did you know when you vote using machines, your paper ballot is not what's counted, but an image? They go, what are you talking about? She goes, yeah, your paper ballot is not what's used to count the vote, but a ballot image. And a picture is taken of your ballot, and that image is what is used to count your vote. And then they delete the image. And people are appalled when they heard this. So I'll repeat that again. Hey, when you put your paper ballot through the machine, nothing is looking at your paper ballot, but a picture is taken. Now, we all know that when you take a picture, particularly with these devices, there could be grain, right, on the camera. There could be dust. There could be all sorts of shit. So if that is what's actually being used, that is the ballot. Does that make sense? It's not the paper ballot. And by federal law, you're supposed to preserve all records in connection with a federal election. Why are they deleting the ballot images? They did that in my 2020 election. And to repeat, in this election, we proactively said, follow the law to the Secretary of State of Massachusetts and all of Massachusetts. And we said, preserve the ballot images because they are the ballots. And I think everyone should get that clear. The ballot is the ballot image. In fact, when I did my tweet in 2020, I said Massachusetts deleted 1.2 million ballot images, which are the actual ballots. If you go read the tweet, and I was thrown off Twitter for telling that absolute truth. So the ballot is, in the case of a voting machine, is the ballot image. So if your votes weren't counted right and you wanted to look at it, you may want to get the votes. Well, maybe there was dust, purposefully or unpurposefully, on a certain dot where your vote was being counted and you never got votes, okay? So things like this, you could imagine, right? Because you want to go to the original thing that was actually used to, and the paper ballots are not it. So anyway, this year we put forward to the Democrats, which is primarily what Massachusetts is, by the way, which is actually not true. Let me correct myself. The ruling elite who run Massachusetts is a collusion between 30% Democrats and 5% Republicans. But the majority are actually independents. 65% of Massachusetts independents, but they're manipulated to think they're not the majority, and they vote like the minority, if that makes any sense. But nonetheless, we submitted a formal lawsuit. Our team did it. Again, everyone should be grateful to this amazing group of people who did that on their own time. And a response came from the Secretary of State saying, we don't have ballot images. Ballot images are not created. An absolute lie. We refuted that. We were given an emergency hearing. The judge had put forward, by the way, our case to be heard in March of 2029, 3 years later. Okay? Unbelievable. If your kids or a insane person did this, you would have them committed, right? But this is allowed, right? You file a lawsuit for an election that's going to take place in 4 months, but your case won't be heard nearly for 3 to 4 years. Okay? And all of us pay a shitload of taxes for this kind of behavior. So we refuted that. We said, there's no way. We want you to move this case up before the election. We filed an emergency hearing. The judge decided to hear our case. We went and presented. No lawyers. We all do all our work. And the judge was actually quite receptive. And too bad they didn't videotape it. She was quite receptive, very friendly. But obviously the judge too, as I explained in the last lecture, or last orientation, she's part of the swarm, meaning the Democrat swarm. She got her position, because God knows who did what to whom, when, and that's what she got, right? Her judgeship. And she's not going to compromise that. So instead of addressing the fundamental issue, Massachusetts deleting ballot images, violating the law, she said, go talk to Trump. This is a federal issue. Go talk to Trump, meaning go talk to the Department of Justice. Only they can give you restitution, because they can simply send a letter to the Secretary of State and saying, stop it. And he would have to follow. Otherwise, he's going to get thrown in jail. Okay? So it was sort of a blessing in disguise, but she still did not change the hearing date. Still March of 2029. So we appealed it. So you have the state court system. We appealed it to a single justice in the appeals court. We filed the interlocutory brief actually day before. Was it yesterday or day before? And within less than 24 hours, the appeals court judge responded, which was today. And they said, oh, no, we're not going to give you this. The lower court judge was right. It's very important we went through this process, because now we have irreparable harm, because once in an emergency motion, the appeals court also rules that the lower court was right. Guess what? It shows that we can now take this federal, okay? We can file a federal lawsuit. If we didn't do that, if we filed a federal lawsuit, the federal judge would say, oh, I'm going to wait until to see what happens in the state courts, okay? Now, getting proactively ready for this, because we sort of did the game theory on this, we sent a letter to Trump's two minions in the Attorney General's office, which is Todd Blanche and Harmeet Dhillon, who claim she's for voting and fairness. Now, right after we sent that letter, if you watched online, some of you did, I think, Chris, you saw this, Harmeet Dhillon gets online and she talks about, yes, we must defend election integrity. She does a special speech. One of her associates in the Department of Homeland Security, who I worked with before in Arizona, who I have great respect for, she said, I don't know why the Department of Justice drags everything this slow. Okay? And she actually took our stuff over to the DOJ, and she says they're all political animals, and they didn't do anything. So here you have actual evidence, courtroom testimony, that the Democrat Secretary of State of Massachusetts is saying, I am going to delete ballot images. I don't give a fuck what you say, Dr. Shivaya Duray, or the people of Massachusetts. I'm going to delete the actual ballots, the images, which are used to tabulate votes. I'm going to set the switch to delete. And I'm also going to lie to a judge saying that the images were never created, confusing people, RAM, right? Short-term memory versus hard drive memory. But they're actually turning the switch off to auto-delete images. Everything is documented. The receipts are black and white. Black and white. The manual says ballot images are being created. They're admitting they're going to delete them. So what we did proactively was we sent a letter to the Department of Justice. Now, as many people know, the chief law officer of the United States is Todd Blanche now. And I think he's in the middle of being confirmed, you know? So suddenly, he's meeting with Epstein victims yesterday to act like he cares. I don't know if you saw this news. So we sent a letter to him saying, look, we demand that you follow the law. You're the chief law enforcement officer. And to Harmeet Dhillon, who talks about, you know, she's for civil rights and she heads up the voting section. We also sent a letter to her, and I'll show you that receipt. And we have the Federal Express, Crystal, sent it via FedEx. We tracked everything. We know they got it. And I found it fascinating, Trump's big announcement. We thought it was going to be on the Iran war. He's going to talk about election integrity. So if Suresh brings up the title of today's talk, this is why we titled it Dr. Shiva versus, or Trump and Democrats support election fraud. DOJ allows ballot image destruction. That's what they've done. They've done nothing to stop it. Shiva for Senate, our movement, fights for election integrity. We're saying preserve ballot images, which is the law. So just look at that. Trump can talk all fucking day he wants about election integrity. He knows about this. His DOJ has been notified, and they've done nothing. And this would take literally a one-page, one-paragraph letter they could send to the Department of Justice. If you take it away, let me bring this up, if I can share my screen here. So just so people understand, these are the receipts of the actual document that was sent to Todd Blanche and Harmeet Dhillon. Here's the actual demand letter that we sent on July 1st. It says, "Dear Acting Attorney General Blanche and Assistant Attorney General Dhillon, our constitutional architecture demands that when Congress speaks clearly, the executive branch must act faithfully. This letter constitutes a formal administrative demand for the United States Department of Justice to exercise its non-discretionary," which means they can unilaterally do this, "enforcement authority under 52 U.S.C. 20701 to address a clear and ongoing structural failure within the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. The statutory text enacted by Congress is unambiguous. Under this law, every election officer shall retain and preserve for 22 months all records and papers relating to any requisite to voting in a federal election. The word shall is mandatory, leaving no room for administrative discretion or bureaucratic convenience. In ongoing proceedings, the chief election officer of Massachusetts admitted under penalty of perjury that the Commonwealth systematically configures its electronic optical scan voting tabulators to disable image saving capabilities, auto delete. From a systems engineering perspective, the operational reality is absolute. These electronic systems cannot count paper, right? That's not what they're doing. They must generate a digital ballot image in short-term memory to process and tabulate a vote. Toggling the storage setting to off is a deliberate administrative instruction to intercept and auto-delete a primary electronic record," right? This is a primary record. It's not secondary. The paper ballot is secondary. This is primary for permanent storage. A state official cannot utilize software configurations to systematically erase data that federal law commands them to keep. To permit this would render the federal statutory mandate a nullity." And then we give the precedent. The Department of Justice under the Biden administration clearly made it evident that per 52 U.S.C. 20701, ballot images are indeed federal records. So crucially, this is not a novel interpretation of the statute. The DOJ has previously and explicitly articulated that digital ballot images are indeed federal records that must be preserved by this law. Adhering to this federal mandate, numerous states across the union routinely configure their tabulation systems to save and retain these images as a standard practice for transparency and auditability. The current posture of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, by the way, remember the Commonwealth of Massachusetts where Elizabeth Warren is, it's the equivalent of California. The MAGA Republicans always are saying Pocahontas, you know, Elizabeth Warren, rightfully so, okay, she's a scumbag, and saying how blue this is, blah, 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 how they're corrupt. Yes, all true. But what are they doing about it? Nothing. So even the posture of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, just like Joe Rogan talks a bunch of shit, but he doesn't do actually anything. Tucker Carlson talks a lot of stuff, always delayed, but they don't do anything. You see this common pattern of talking, but never actually mobilizing people to do anything about it. Creates learned helplessness. But nonetheless, the current posture of Commonwealth of Massachusetts creates an unconstitutional local deviation from federal law. We cannot tolerate a lawless patchwork where some states preserve the electronic data necessary. You see, a federal law has to be practiced everywhere. You can't have a patchwork of states to verify a federal election while others actively wipe the digital trail. The Supremacy Clause of the Constitution and the integrity of federal elections demand geographic and operational uniformity. A citizen's right to verifiable vote cannot in a federal race depend on a geographic fortuity. Oh, I'm in Massachusetts. I don't get, my ballot images aren't saved. I can't really audit anything. But in, you know, Tennessee, ballot images are retained. You see, you can't have a patchwork. That's not what the founders wanted. Of whether a state election official decides to obey a federal criminal mandate. On June 24th, 2026, a Massachusetts Superior Court judge denied preliminary injunctive relief based on not the merits of the statutory violation, but on a rigid procedural constraint. The court ruled that individual candidates and citizens possess no private right of action. And if you want to make a note of this in Q&A, I'll explain this, to enforce, sorry about that, Yeah. No private right of action to enforce. Where did that go? Yeah. Possess no private right of action to enforce federal retention laws. Concluding, this is what she put in her ruling. It is the Attorney General of the United States which may bring a cause of action for the enforcement of this law. You know, there's no private right of action. And by the way, this the Attorney General is Todd Blanchard, who reports to Donald Trump. And the appeals court judge reaffirmed this, which is good for us, by shutting down the courthouse door to private litigants. The judiciary has concentrated the entire enforcement mechanism of this federal statute within your offices, offices of Todd Blanchard and Harmeet Dhillon. Under the separation of powers, when the courts ruled that the keys to enforcement belong exclusively to the executive branch, the executive branch cannot retreat into passive inaction, which is what Harmeet Dhillon and Todd Blanchard have done. For the Department of Justice to stand by while a state administrative apparatus, Massachusetts, systematically deletes data, ballot images, required to verify a federal election represents a fundamental breakdown of the rule of law. It allows the state to utilize procedural shields to immunize its own unlawful conduct from judicial review. So anyway, we gave them a 48-hour window. We gave them more than that. We gave them a week now. But that's what we did, okay? So the bottom line is, and by the way, we have all the FedEx receipts that they actually got it, and it's in their possession. So Trump's Department of Justice, claiming to do election integrity, knows ballot images being deleted. One telegram, two lines could be issued and saying, you must preserve ballot images or you're in violation of federal law and you will be subject to all the criminal penalties. That could be done like that. It could be done via email. It could be done via, you know, a phone call, whatever you want, formally. Has Trump's DOJ done anything? Nothing. Nothing. So-called MAGA Republicans for election integrity. The fundamental level, ballots are being destroyed. It's black and white. Who's fighting for this? Our movement, the people, the leadership, and the ground, you know, the bottoms-up people, working people on this call and listening on social media. That's the only one fighting for this. The grifters talked about election integrity to the extent they could raise money, sell pillows, fucking Mike Lindell, talking wackadoodle shit. I don't see him talking about this at all. Where is he? It was convenient for him to talk about it because he needed to sell pillows. It was convenient for Trump to talk about it because it was in 2020, he used our material to raise $500 million. But it's fascinating that he's doing a talk about election integrity today. And I can assure you, this is not about election integrity. This is about to throw some shit out there to take people away from Iraq, Iran, and what's going on in Ukraine. That's his intention. That's what's actually going on. What are we going to do? Well, on Monday, we will be filing our federal lawsuit. The great thing is we can now say this: we've exhausted everything in the state of Massachusetts. We filed a writ of mandamus. We took it to the courts. The court said, come to Trump. The appeals court said, go to Trump. What is Trump going to do? So it's beautiful for us. It's beautiful for educating people that the Democrat judiciary in Massachusetts is saying, Trump, you do something. This is in your purview. They don't want to address the deletion of ballot images because it's so obvious they can't refute that. But they're saying, Trump, do something about it. And that's where we're at. So Monday, we will file that, let everyone know what we're doing. But see, we didn't stop. We filed the writ of mandamus. Then we responded. Then we asked for an emergency motion. Then they denied it. Then within 10 days, in the middle of everything else, we filed the interlocutory brief to the appeals court. Then we prepared a federal lawsuit. So we've done like 6-7 different briefings. That's why everyone should be grateful to the incredible people in this movement. Who else is doing this? Judicial Watch, that fucking guy, don't see him anymore at all. Remember him? You don't see him anywhere anymore. We're the ones who have sustained ourselves. We're digging the ditches. We're planting the seeds step by step. We just do the fucking work. And that's what the world needs. Working people playing the long game, not looking for some quick fix tomorrow, knowing things don't happen overnight, particularly if the destruction has taken 60, 70 years while people were doing nothing. So brick by brick by brick, we're doing that. No one else is. And we're giving people an opportunity, just like you would go exercise for an hour, or you'd go volunteer somewhere, go to church. This is a different platform where you can exercise your civic responsibility. 20 minutes a day, you know, a couple hours a week. We're giving people a framework. We're saying, don't sweat it. We have to build this movement. And give of your time. Integrate this into your life. This is not being dramatic. This is not being, grifting. This is something that people should integrate to their lives as good citizens, wherever you are. Learn system science, learn beyond left and right, take some action, have your experience. And we give you this amazing framework to do that. That's what this is. This is a framework to participate in an aspect of your musculature that the swarm has denied you, that you they want to weaken. You see? It's like you don't use your biceps, or you don't use your calf muscles, you don't use your quads. You're going to get weak. We're exercising a muscle so people stay sharp, and we're just saying integrate it into your lives. And we constantly educate, we go out into the world, and that's what we're doing. But this is a very profound issue because we're talking about the framework of democracy. We're talking about the fact that Republicans and Democrats are in collusion to not address this fundamental issue. They're in collusion. And that is what we're saying. And then we're saying in the middle of that collusion, there's a massive set of people who are actually broken from them. Not only in the United States, this is global. In India, the typical two parties were called, in South India, for example, DMK and AIDMK, again, or Congress and BJP. An independent guy came out of nowhere and he won. Now, I'm not saying he's the person, but it shows the trend of people. They don't like these two heads of the establishment. He may be an NSOE, but the point is that the trend is for people leaving the plantation. And our movement is going to give people a really good swift kick in the butt for people to move in that direction. You say? You're heading in the direction, now move in that direction. So as a part of that, many of you know, we're running for U.S. Senate in Massachusetts, which is the center of the global swarm. And as a part of that, the action that we're giving people is three actions. Anyone listening? And frankly, we want you to take action. You can ask us questions. We're giving you one of three opportunities to take action. One action is you can sign up tonight and help us make phone calls. You can be anywhere on the planet. We have someone from Singapore here who helps us make phone calls. We have someone here from Oregon who helps us make phone calls. We have someone here from Illinois. We have someone here from Texas. We have someone here from, was here in the morning from, from Scandinavia. Wherever you are, you can help us make phone calls. That's one action you can do. Again, it's exercising. What will you learn? You learn how to talk to somebody. You learn how to communicate with people. You'll get out of your social isolation. By the way, let me just tell you something. It's fascinating. I did an analysis, like, how do I convince volunteers they should do shit? Typically, volunteers say, oh my God, I have no time. You don't understand. I work so hard. I come home. I blah, blah, blah. Okay. So I did a quick statistical analysis of the average person, how much time they're spending on this device for non-work, like fucking around. Turns out the average person is spending 35 hours a week on these devices, watching cat videos, you know, whatever, watching a gorilla chase a rabbit, whatever, shit like this, okay? But that's what they're doing, 35 hours a week. We have about a solid 10 weeks left in our campaign, if you know, just to be conservative. So that means over the next 10 weeks, that person people who come to our movement, who love our videos, oh, thank you, Dr. Shiva, thank you, Truth for New Health, they're going to spend 350 hours, you know, watching a bison, you know, kick a guy up 10 feet in the air, right? And then bison videos, you've seen this, right? So 350 hours. I'm asking those people, give me 20% of your time, 70 hours over the next 10 weeks, 7 hours a week. Okay, if you can't do that, do half, do 4 hours a week. So when you put it in perspective, I'm saying you are right now, and if you work out the financial model of this, when you are spending 350 hours over the next 10 weeks, multiply someone's fully loaded wage at around 50, 60 bucks. You're giving Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, and these fucking guys about 20 grand of your time. And they're actually getting ad revenue. Every time you're watching, cha-ching, 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 they're getting advertising revenue off of you. And what do you get out of that health-wise? Well, your cortisol goes up. So you're fucking up your immune system. Your spine gets tech neck, right? You're getting like, you know, numbness and shit the next day. Then on top of that, you're getting social isolation. You're sitting in this thing thinking this is the world. And then you're not moving physically. So you're destroying your health and you're paying these fucking guys 20 grand over the next 350 hours. And again, I'm not including the work hours. And on over here, he's saying, oh, I love Dr. Shiva. I love the movement. Well, give us 20 hours. Give yourself 20 hours. Give yourself, not me. Why don't you take 70 hours and do something for yourself? Get out. Hand out flyers. You're out and out talking to people. You're out getting vitamin D3. Your spine is not bent. You're seeing, wow, I was shy. We just had a guy come out, you know, this weekend. He was very shy. Mark wasn't sure about all this. After 30 minutes in framing him, not only did he get excited, he goes, I'm going to go down to Plymouth. And he went down there 2 more hours. You see, they don't want you getting out and getting healthy. You're fucking yourself up two ways, spending 350 hours on these devices, making them money and hurting your health. What does Truth Freedom Health offer you? Hand out a flyer. Someone should bring up the flyer. It's an amazing flyer. And Andrew, I don't know if you have the videos of Andrew here. Andrew, do you have the videos of us handing out flyers? I don't know if you produced it yet. Is it out?
We're still working on them, Dr. Shubert. Okay. They're almost done.
But you'll see this amazing video of people, not only the people handing out having fun, but the people taking it at grocery stores. They don't take this and throw it away. You watch them from the time they grab it all the way to their car reading it. And people handing them out, they're like, wow. You know, people are taking it. The world is not so fucked up. Not everyone is in their little cave, doesn't get it. They want to read this fucking flyer. So people are getting energized. They're getting out in the sun. They're meeting other people versus sitting, listening to Fucker Carlson or some grifter who's convincing you this is all fucked up. This is all fucked up. This is all fucked up. Oh my God, 9/11 took place. Let's talk about John F. Kennedy. You know, oh my, let's expose Kennedy. Who the fuck cares about John Kennedy? He was an imperialist fuckface. You know what I'm saying? They're redoing history, misdirecting people, and not dealing with the reality. Right now, here and now, ballot images are being deleted. Why don't you talk about that? Right now, 65% of people in Massachusetts are independents, yet they're voting for Democrats and Republicans. 54 million Americans are independent, yet they're voting for this two-party system. This is reality here and now. So that's what we're asking people. The math is right in front of you. You are going to spend 350 hours on these devices, giving your time, energy, money, health to them. Why don't you give it to yourself? So right now you can help us make phone calls. You can be sitting out in your patio, getting some sun and using this device and making phone calls. You can do it. Jeremiah runs a telethon. You can do it with a bunch of other people. Jeremiah's got a job. He's got 3 kids. He's got a lot of stuff. And he does that every Tuesday, every day he's doing telethons. So you can meet other people if you don't want to get outside. But you can at least meet other people and do it together socially. Social connection, the number one reason people live long. Number one reason that it supports your immune system. Okay. Number one, make phone calls. One opportunity. Number two, come to Massachusetts, hand out flyers. Barb came down. Noel came down. The Zacks came, drove up 2.5 hours from Connecticut. They had a blast. And people learn, because handing out a flyer is, you have to get over your own shyness, because you have to talk to somebody. You see a stranger. So you learn. Number three, what you can do is help us recruit other volunteers. So you can do two things. Recruit other volunteers who can help make phone calls and hand out flyers. You can get other people to pledge for our election, or you can just hand out flyers. So we're giving people three activities. Each one of them, you're going to grow socially. You're going to expand your knowledge. You're going to connect with people. It's for your own health. And you're not giving money to them. That's what the opportunity is. It's really for you. We've created, again, this framework. The issues, and I want to ask people here, you know, who here hasn't signed up to do any of those activities? You raise your hand if you haven't. Who on this call, and you can be straight, who here has not signed up either to make a phone call, hand out flyers, or help get volunteers onboarded? Who? Anyone? Henry. Henry's in Alaska. But Henry, Henry has helped us before. I'm sure he'll be here. Khalil hasn't. Lauren Max has not. So let me ask Lauren and Khalil. I know you guys perhaps are new. And this is to everyone listening on social media. What in you is stopping you from actually taking a small action? Khalil, do you want to answer that? You can put it in the chat. Just think about it. Just review in your life. What is stopping you from actually doing something for yourself in the framework we've provided? It's a question. And you can put it right in the chat to one of the leaders. And this is a general question, because I know I open it up to questions, but I have questions for you. Any responses? Okay, I'm not getting any responses. Well, let me flip it the other way. There are people here who have gone out and done work. I want them to share what they've learned and how exciting it is. Barb, do you want to say something? And then Marianne, I know Marianne makes phone calls. Go ahead, Barb. Can someone unmute Barb? Oh, there we go. Go ahead, Barb. You got to unmute.
Am I unmuted?
Yeah, Barb, yes. Very succinctly tell us, you know, what you've got now of going out. You've collected signatures, you handed out flyers this past weekend, you came all the way up from Florida. Go ahead.
I think the biggest thing that I've gotten out of it is that the majority in Massachusetts, they really are independent. So many of them have no interest in being caught in that little left-right paradigm, the little hamster wheel. They want out and they're looking for an avenue. And that flyer just puts it into a context that it gives them that path. And I was there when I saw people like reading it from the moment it got into their hands all the way, either pushing their shopping cart, reading it, or holding it in their hand with holding the grocery bag, reading it all the way back to their car. It was an honor to be able to connect with them.
Well, I'm gonna mute again.
Yeah. So let me show you what Barb is talking about. And Andrew, can you get that one clip, maybe of that video of that guy getting it and walking I think I may have it. Andrew, if you can even show that, I know you're going to put out the full video, but I think it'd be really help people to understand. I may have it here myself, but Marianne, do you want to talk about your experience actually getting on the phone, talking to people? Go ahead, Marianne.
It is amazing. And when I tell people, you know, that 65% of them are independents, they're really taken back by that. But other than that, when I tell them, the independent voice really doesn't have a chance to explain who they are, because we're in this left and right camp and they will not allow independent voices. And I said, do you really consider that freedom here in the country? And, you know, they really sit back and think about it and they say, you know, you're right. You know, we really do need to hear other people. We are stuck in the left and the right, and they've both disappointed us. So that is what I've learned, is that when I talk to them about the reason why, you know, I'm fighting for the independent vote, that they understand, they never have a chance to hear it. So they really don't know whether or not they would be part of them or not. So that's the great part, the teaching them and, you know, them recognizing it. So yes, it's great to talk to people and really raise their consciousness on the independence. And it was great. It's great.
All right. Anyone else? Who else has been on the phone? Go ahead. Oh, Jeremiah, go ahead. Jeremiah is on the phone all day. Go ahead, Jeremiah.
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Shiva. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Great. Yeah. So I just want to share. I make phone calls because I get to express things about what I've learned through Truth Freedom Health about system science and the great world that we could create. We work our jobs. I work at a candy store, so I'm selling stuff that I don't believe in, you know, sugar and soda pop. And this is an opportunity for me to look at other things, turmeric and garlic and how these things, simple things that are in the grocery stores can help us and can help us live better, healthier lives. And just it inspires me because I know there's good things out there, and a lot of people just haven't tried or haven't seen it. It's not out there for them. And Truth Freedom Health really motivates me to seek these things out. And I'm here with a couple warrior scholars at my local library, and we're building some community here too. So it's
nice to see everyone. How are you guys?
It's awesome.
What Jeremiah is doing is he's co-streaming it. He went to a local library and he's bringing Truth Freedom Health to them. Hello to everyone out there.
Yeah. Thanks. We've got it on the big, I'm sharing it on my computer. Zoom doesn't work well on my computer, so I have it on YouTube. So we're watching the live, but I heard, you know, what you were saying. So I paused that so we can interact with you in the Zoom here on my phone.
Great. So, if they have any questions, feel free for them to do it. Let me go to Andrew. Thanks, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Andrew, go ahead.
Yes, Dr. Shiva. So I can share, you know, some of those clips. The challenge is that it's in the video editor screen, so it's not going to be that large. Is that okay? Do you want to see it from there?
Yeah, you can just show a couple of them. Just so.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Sure. Let me go ahead and share. So
again, this is a rough edit. Andrew hasn't put it out, but he's going to put out a nice video. But, you know, sometimes it's good to see stuff in process.
Exactly. Can you see that right now? Do you see this woman holding the flyer?
Yep, we can see her.
Okay. This is a good one, because essentially he looks at it the whole way. Let me get it from the beginning here. You know, her whole way back to the car, she was really intently studying it.
That's pretty cool. You don't see people doing that. They do that typically with their iPhones, right?
There's a few more examples like that too. This gentleman here, you know, he looked at it the whole way with him. I mean, it was a great time out here. I mean, there's a lot of cool things we could show probably, but we're really looking forward to getting these out there and showing you guys just kind of, you know, the types of connections that we make, and just how many of us there are out there. 65% number isn't a joke. I mean, we connect with a lot of people out there, and it's a really simple message. Independent for U.S. Senate, you know, big smile, project it, and it's amazing the reaction you get. So, yeah, it was a great time.
Yeah, I think, Andrew, one of the biggest things for me was the satisfaction I got, you can remove that, Andrew, was taking people who had never done it before, and you find simple things, like be confident, right? You learn confidence within seconds. You know, what you show at what time, you don't have to have this big stack of flyers. You know, people sometimes get all flustered. How you present yourself, smiling, shit that you stop learning when you're on this stuff all day. So people learn how to connect, hand out stuff. And what's really cool is to watch people who are maybe only doing two flyers and they're getting, and then they do something very simple, like look at someone in the eye, smile. And suddenly they're doing about 100 to 200 an hour. You know, that is very cool because people see how they can connect with somebody and how their own behavioral changes can cause these connections. And it's very difficult to learn that on these devices because it's fake. It really is. So it reconnects people with reality and other human beings. It's like going out in the yard and working, you know, doing some gardening versus outsourcing it to someone else. So it's that kind of stuff. So you can't really put a number on this, but it's invaluable. This weekend, Saturday and Sunday, we're going to be hitting 6 different locations. And every Saturday and Sunday, I'll be going to at least 2 locations per weekend. So it's not like I'm sitting as a candidate, you know, and having my minions do this. I love handing out flyers. It's a lot of fun. It may seem weird, but it's really a lot of fun. So I encourage everyone to come out wherever you are and be part of this. So the other thing that we're doing by doing this is people can't talk just random shit to us anymore. Oh, what do you think about Joe Rogan? We don't give a fuck about Joe Rogan. We want to ask people, what are you going to do to improve your life right now? You see, the model flips. We're asking people to take action. The responsibility flips. That flyer basically puts people on notice. If you look at it again, and I'll share this over and over again, but if you look at this flyer, it's right in people's face. You are the majority, yet you keep voting for Democrat and Republican. It's basically, what are you doing? And look what that has gotten us. You know, Henry and I, when we did this, we really wanted to find, Henry was a big proponent of finding real issues. And these are big issues. Housing has become unaffordable. Cost of living. People are getting sicker. The elections are not transparent. You got crumbling roads and bridges. And who's doing that? You are doing it. Someone, some devil, some Rothschild somewhere is not doing it. You're doing it to yourself. So this is very powerful because it puts the onus on the individual to say, you know, you are independent at a fundamental level, now vote independent. So I love this flyer, and I think people do. And that's why you see in the videos that Andrew, you will see people take it and first they get it and you'll see mesmerized as they're walking because it's doing something to them psychologically. It's a big mirror on them. It really is. It's really a public service announcement we're doing. And you're doing it very viscerally, physically. So it's up to you. Enjoy. But over the next 4 months, we don't really want to hear any more ideas. We don't want to hear any more theories about how we're getting fucked over. We want you to get off your butt, make a phone call, help recruit volunteers, or hand out flyers. 3 actions. Everything else is frankly immaterial to us. So there you go. Anyone else? Any questions? So we have a couple of questions here. Let's look at this. Khalil says he can help in other way. Question, thoughts on the billionaire tax in California? Khalil says he supports in other ways. His question, thoughts on the billionaire tax in California? Well, I think, Khalil, there are many such issues. You can go watch videos. I've talked about many issues. But at this point, what I suggest you do is get on the phone. You know, Marianne's right here. Marianne, maybe you can just ping Khalil or Barb and, you know, get him onboarded on the phone so he can ask people in Massachusetts what's bothering them. Okay. So Khalil, that's what I suggest you do. Make phone calls, you know, connect with people. Okay. Here's another one. Can you expand on the phrase in the lawsuit, no private right of action to enforce 52 USC 2071? It's a great question. Okay, so everyone knows there are federal laws, right? So, for example, there's the vote, you know, women's right to vote, or you can't delete ballot images. These are federal laws. So as an individual in state court, which is what we were in, if you're going to state court, which is not what we did, by the way, so that was actually wrong what the judge actually said. We went into state court and we said, hey, Your Honor, there's a federal law over here that we just want to make sure the government of Massachusetts follows. That's called a writ of mandamus, okay? We have a right to do that, Barb, okay? We can't go to a state court and say, we want you to, you, state court, must enforce, you know, 52 USC 20701. Okay, that's called a private right of action. I, as a private citizen, am asking a state court that I want them to enforce this law. That's not what we said. Like, hey, that, you know, they're deleting ballot images. We want you to apply 52-20701 and enforce that. Or that woman over there is not being allowed to vote. I, as a private citizen, am asking the state government to enforce that. Okay? Enforcement power for federal law is in the power of who? The executive branch of the government, the president, the attorney general. So what the judge did, she didn't want to really talk about the writ of mandamus. She didn't want to talk about the ballot images. So she twisted it and she said, you don't have private right of action to enforce this law, which is not what I was trying to do. I was just trying to say, you should follow the law. Okay. We want the judiciary to issue a letter to the Secretary of State saying you should follow this law. It exists already, but they were unwilling to do that. So they twisted and said, oh, you're trying to enforce the law. I wasn't. And therefore they said, you have no private right of action, that you must go to the Department of Justice to do that. Does that make sense? It's very similar to when, I think during the Kennedy administration, they sent in National Guard to enforce, you know, integration. Okay. So the federal government, you know, sent in some ways the military to enforce integration because they, I think they were doing segregation, which was against the law. So that's what private right of action means, but that's not what we were doing anyway, but fine, we'll take it. And we're going to demand that Harmeet Dhillon and Todd Blanche do, you know, execute the law. Trump is on right now. I'm getting a lot of text messages, throwing a bunch of stuff out there about about election integrity. Okay, great. But right now, that was election 3 years ago. Right now, Massachusetts is deleting ballot images. What are you going to do about it? And many states are doing this in many parts of the United States. One letter, Trump could solve that. Instead of wanting to solve something, he wants to keep the issue alive. You see? Instead of solving racism, the Democrats want to always keep racism going. Instead of solving immigration, they just deport 3% of illegal immigrants. They don't deport everyone. They don't really find a solution. They want to keep these issues alive. They don't have any actual solution. They don't want to solve them. And this is what people need to understand. These issues are issues for them to make money off of. Entrepreneurs, we build products, we innovate. Politicians just keep issues alive to make money. They never have to ever solve anything. So that's what we're educating people on. But all of you, it's great to know that nearly 90% of you, at least on here, are making phone calls or helping hand out flyers. And by the way, just to repeat, we're the first ones on the ballot in Massachusetts. No one else has gotten on the ballot. We're the first ones as independents on the ballot. No Democrat has got on the ballot. the Republicans got on the ballot. Yet the major news media in Massachusetts is already conducting debates among candidates, and they're not even candidates. The level of thievery, you know, is out there. That's why you can't fight these guys. You just get out and you hand out those flyers. I'm telling you guys, we hand out 1.2 million of those flyers. You will have one of us for U.S. Senate. It's really up to you. For every 10,000 flyers you hand out, we get 5,000 votes. I've done the math. So if you want to help and you want to stop complaining, get out here and help us hand out flyers and make phone calls. Surely you don't want to say, holy shit, you know, if I had helped, I could have helped them get votes. So you have 10 weeks that everyone can help with. And we're asking people to give minimum 4 hours a week for the next 10 weeks, 40 hours, which is less than 5% or 10% of what you're going to be spending on these devices watching monkey videos, okay? So anything else? Any other questions on social? Yeah, it's interesting. People don't have a lot of questions when you actually give them a tangible action that they have to do. Now they have to go do it. So that's what we're asking people. Any other announcements? Any other general questions, like private right of action, anything else? But this coming week, we will be filing the federal lawsuit. We had a great barbecue. A lot of people showed up. And it's very, very exciting. But it's really cool because what we're saying is, forget what they do. Forget all the shit that they do to us. It doesn't matter. We hand out those flyers, period. That's it. Everything else is, it doesn't matter. All right. If there's no other questions, is there any other announcements we have? I think that's about it. So anyway, I'm very, very grateful. The world owes the Movement for Truth, Freedom, Health gratitude to every single one of you. Many people have no idea of the amount of work everyone does here daily, either on social media or on the background, helping us do logistics, making phone calls. And there's only this movement on the planet which can move the working class forward. I think I just got Lori Childers had a question. With making phone calls, you learn to navigate. Oh, Lori has it from Florida, says you learn to navigate the conversation based on feedback from the person you called. I may realize they aren't going to engage, so I make sure to get the website out to them. Or they may not sound like they're going to engage, and I say they can pledge on the website, or would you like me to do that for you now? You just learn how to nuance and finesse with conversation, also seeking the opportunity to ask them to volunteer. So Lori's bringing up really something very important. So you, as a good citizen, what you learn is people at these different states of consciousness. Some people just come around and they just want to kick the tires. Great. You give them some material to read. That's where they're at. It's okay. You give them a video to go watch, like Shatter the Swarm, okay? Other people have seen the videos, but they haven't taken any action, right? So they understand theoretically. They can talk to you. Oh, yeah, I understand this. I understand that. I love this video. And in that model, you as an educator trying to make them go to the next baby step. Hey, look, why don't you do just 20 minutes of phone calls this weekend? Something very simple. And out of that exercise, which they've never done, they'll have an interesting experience talking to other people. They'll learn from that. But now you've moved them down to a path of action, not just theory. Then the next step is you invite people to be part of any of the telethons. For example, Jeremiah's done. Jeremiah invited people to his place. You're giving them the opportunity to have community. Theory, the knowledge, community, and action. You need all three to actually build a sustainable movement that does anything. We have all of that as a part of our framework. But to Lori's point, you learn to be patient where people are, and you're giving them an action that they can do at that point in time in their development, which is fine, right? That's a serious service you're doing for someone. We're not trying to shove something down someone's throat, you know, like Jehovah's Witnesses or something. Nothing against Jehovah's Witnesses, but we're not trying to give the same message, Armageddon's coming, If you don't do this, you're not going to be the 1 million that gets saved, right? It's not what this is. This is about finding where people are at and giving them something discrete, tangible that they can learn from. All right. Well, very excited. I'm glad everyone's participating. You have your, Northern Light here, for your, which is basically you're bringing people down to act, giving people something very tangible. So it's not something etheric out there. It's not something conspiratorial, something very real. All right. Thank you, everyone. Oh, who's this? Wait a minute. One last one. How can we encourage people who thinks elections are selections so they don't want to participate? Yeah. So that's a really good question. So I think when we were handing out, it was interesting. Some people would say, oh, I don't vote, but they would take the flyer. It was very interesting to watch. Like, they don't vote, but they want the flyer because the flyer is compelling. So look, what we are doing here is we're using the occasion of an election to compel people to think about the fact that if you read that flyer, it's various levels. On the one level, let me bring it up again. It has that aspect in there. One is the aspect of, hey, look, you're independent, you keep voting for them. But the deeper aspect of this flyer, which is starts over here, you know, what are your core values? Courage over fear, service over selfishness, responsibility over dependence, truth over manipulation, independence over submission. So if people want to look around the world around them, forget even elections. Hey, housing is unaffordable. Right? You're getting mandates. So we were really, embraced there. And obviously we supported the nurses. We brought them food, but they were out there for about a week. So, and they're still now in negotiations. But I think the key thing is the occasion of an election is an opportunity to mobilize people to think about what it means to build a bottoms-up movement. So whoever's asking that, that's really what the issue is, okay? The issue is that wherever people are at, if they're thinking, rightfully so, if I vote in these elections, nothing happens. But if you participate in the process of educating people, you're going to always win. And that's what we're doing. You get out 1.2 million flyers, you've now taken those 65% independence, and now you've started making them think, why am I voting for these two numbnuts, right? That's what we're doing. We're raising people's consciousness. And when you raise someone's consciousness, you always win, because you can't, it's education. You can't take it away. So the election, again, is an opportunity for working people to have access on a broader scale. And that's what we're doing. But we actually have an opportunity to win at a very fundamental level, because we have the brand equity, but we need to get that message into people's hands. All right, I'll say goodbye again. Thank you, everyone. Be well. Get involved. And Barb and you, Crystal, just connect with people and make sure they're all acted. Thank you.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.